Krishna came to this material nature according to the request of Lord Brahma and the demigods. And when the mission was accomplished, then Brahma told Krishna that now he can return back to his abode in the spiritual sky. So then Krishna got all the jagus together and reminded them of the curse of the brahmanas. The brahmanas cursed the jadus. Jadus were enjoying in a festive mood, and then they came across some brahmanas. Brahmanas means some personalities from the higher planetary system, including Durvasa Muni, who is very famous for his bad temper. And so the jadus, they wanted to make fun of them. So they dressed up Samba as a woman, as a pregnant woman. And they tied a pillow around his belly, dressed him up as a woman, and approached the brahmanas and asked them whether this lady will give birth to a boy or a girl. And so the sages are trikaladarshis, they can see time in three aspects. So they told him he'll give birth to a mess that will be the cause of the destruction of your entire family, Jadu dynasty. So when they came back and reported what actually happened, then Ugrasen called an assembly and they got together and they discussed what to do. And incidentally they found that actually when after they had been cursed in that way, they found that literally there was a mess in Samba's, around Samba, next to Samba's belly. I mean, when they tied up a pillow, but now the pillow has been transformed into a mess. So it was considered now what to do. Right? So Ugrasen called the assembly and then it was discussed that let's destroy the mess.
What do you mean by mess?
It's a mess, gada, mushal.
Mace.
Oh,
mace. Mace. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, the pronunciation would actually be mace. So, the Sanskrit word for that is a mushal. Mushal and mace, the gada, there are two things. The gada has a round head, whereas the mace is more like, it's not as solemn on the head as a gada.
Corn?
Maize? No, not maize. M-A-C-E. M-A-C-E.
We're a little slow over here, Mark.
I'm sorry.
Like a club.
Club, yeah, okay. So club would have been a better expression.
No. Whatever you say, we're slow.
No. I have my Indian accent. And so it was this, they found it's a iron club. And then they decided to destroy that. And how to destroy that? They decided to start rubbing it on a large piece of stone and that's how it will be pulverized. And so they did that on the bank of the ocean. They pulverized, I mean they rubbed it and rubbed it till it became completely pulverized. Only a small little piece was left that they could rub off. So that was thrown in the ocean. So that pulverized iron particles actually settled and gave rise to the wheat. From that grew the weeds, and that actually led to the when the jadus got drunk and started to fight. That was the result of that pulverized club. And anyway, Krishna told them and reminded them of the curse of the Brahmana. And he told them to go to Prabhash, the holy place. And he himself decided to leave the planet. So at that time, Uddhav approached Krishna and told him that he couldn't bear to bear the pain of separation from him. So he wanted to also go with him. But then Krishna advised him not to do that. Rather, he advised him to take sannyas and go out on a pilgrimage. And this is how Uddhava was actually spared from that mass destruction of that Jadu dynasty. And at that time Krishna started to advise, but just after that, after instructing him to take sannyas, Krishna started to advise him. And the purpose of that advice that Krishna gave is to make him understand about the futility of material existence. So this is the main theme of the 11th chapter, 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the previous few chapters, probably you remember that how Krishna narrated different stories. One very interesting story was that how an avadhuta, a personality who was completely free from all material attachment and completely absorbed in his loving relationship with Krishna, instructed Jadu, King Jadu, who was the forefather of Krishna. And there he instructed about 9 different spiritual masters. One of them, the first one, was a python. What he learned from a python. What does a python do? The python doesn't move. It stays at one place. And it eats whatever comes on its way. And you have seen a python. Like, it's huge. And so, although it doesn't make any effort to collect food, but it has such, doesn't have any scarcity. So a sannyasi should be like that. He should endeavor for his sustenance. Whatever comes on his way, he should accept it. In this way, he learned from the python. He learned from the ocean to be grave and peaceful, not be agitated. He learned from a bumblebee and honeybee. In this way there are, he learned so many things from different personalities. And the last personality was a prostitute whom he considered to be his guru, Pingala. And what did he learn from Pingala? Pingala was a prostitute, so one evening she dressed up very nicely, waiting for someone to come to her. And she was seeing so many people are coming and going. When somebody was coming, she was thinking, oh, he must be coming to me and he must have a lot of money. So he will reward me, give me a lot of money. And in this way, it went on until midnight. And at that time, Pingala realized the futility of waiting for somebody like that. And she felt that, why am I waiting for an ordinary man? If I develop this attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is providing me with everything, who is taking care of me in all respects, why don't I wait for him like this? Why don't we expect him to come to me? And in this way, this prostitute got the realization and became a devotee. So this is how Krishna instructed Uddhava how to learn, how to take lessons from different personalities and different objects. And in this way, he's coming to the 11th chapter. And in the 11th chapter, he is talking about the symptoms of living entities. And in this particular verse, he's instructing about the liberated soul and conditioned soul. Now, what's the difference? Previously also Krishna mentioned that this material body made of five elements is meant for both sense gratification and achieving the ultimate goal of life, especially the human form of life. The human form of life is meant for the ultimate goal of life. People try to gratify their senses. It provides a beautiful opportunity for sense gratification, beautiful allurements for sense gratification. But at the end, all our endeavor for sense enjoyment ends in a frustration and causing distress. So that is called the conditioned state of existence. One tries to enjoy through the material body, gratifying his senses, but ends up in ultimate distress. Whereas the same body can be utilized in achieving the ultimate goal of life. And that ultimate goal of life is to re-establish his lost relationship with the Supreme Personality of God. So in this particular verse, it has been pointed out that that how this body is a source, my dear Uddhav, in the same material body we find opposing characteristics, such as great happiness and misery. That is because both the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally liberated, as well as the conditioned soul, are within the body. I shall now speak to you about the different characteristics. So Krishna will explain that. But in the purport following Sridhar Swami's commentary, it has been pointed out that Krishna is first explaining how the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are the two extremes. The conditioned soul is subjected to a miserable condition, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the source of joy, source of happiness. And then also how a living entity in his conditioned state is in a suffering condition, and he also can be in a liberated stage when he becomes perfectly situated in happiness or joy. And it also has been pointed out the difference between happiness and joy. Sukham and Ananda, two expressions. Sukh is synonymous to happiness. Sukha is actually happiness, and joy is, or bliss is, ananda. Now, sukha is actually a material consideration. Like when the suffering condition is reduced, then that is considered to be happiness. Everyone is in a suffering condition, but when that suffering condition is reduced, when suffering is reduced, then one considers that to be happiness. But happiness is not actually what a living entity is ultimately aspiring for. Because he's in a miserable condition, he thinks that cessation of that painful state is going to make him achieve what he's actually hankering for. But it has been pointed out that this sukha, or happiness, is transient, it's not everlasting. What actually one wants is total cessation of pain, atyantik dukkhamivritti. So this total cessation of pain can be achieved only when one is situated perfectly on the spiritual platform. In that stage, there is no consideration of suffering. Therefore, it is unalloyed happiness or unalloyed enjoyment without any tinge of suffering. Anyway, so the basic consideration here is that a living entity has a material body. When he tries to gratify his senses and in order to enjoy, when he tries to enjoy by gratifying his senses, he ends up being miserable. The more he tries to enjoy through this body, the more miserable he becomes. But in the same body, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also situated. So when he surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who actually fulfills all his desires, will recognize his desires and fulfill his desires, and thus he will become happy. The real way of happiness is to become surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the source of all happiness, source of joy. He is Anandamaya. So, living entity, when he becomes surrendered or connected to that Anandamaya, then he becomes also Anandamaya. The way to achieve real joy, or way to experience real enjoyment, is by being connected to that supreme enjoyer. And in this respect, an example has been given that a spark of fire, a spark is a minute fire. It's a very tiny little fire. And as long as the spark is in the fire, it's fire. But when the spark comes out of the fire, then it becomes extinguished. It loses its fiery quality. And outside the fire, there is ash. And it falls in the ash and turns into ash. So similarly, a jiva is a minute Satchidananda. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Satchidananda. And a living entity is also Satchidananda, but a tiny little Satchidananda, just as a spark is fire. But its condition of remaining or retaining those qualities depends upon its connection with fire. When it becomes isolated from fire, it loses those fiery qualities. Or a living entity, when it becomes isolated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead loses its spiritual qualities, namely Sat, Chit, Ananda, eternity, knowledge, and bliss. And losing those spiritual qualities, falling onto the material nature, it begins to identify itself with matter. Or rather, he begins to identify himself with matter. He begins to identify himself with the body made of matter. And he tries to derive those spiritual qualities through his endeavor in this material nature, through his senses, which is where his consciousness is actually flowing through. So a tiny little spark has lost its fiery quality, and falling onto the heap of ash has become ash. Now it has to regain his fiery qualities, what is that to do? To re-establish his connection with the fire, it will become fire again. So that is the difference between conditioned state and liberated state. Conditioned state is when one is isolated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and begins to identify himself with matter, the body, then he is in a conditioned state. In that state, he simply tries to enjoy through the endeavor, through his endeavors for enjoyment by gratifying his senses, fulfilling the desires or demands of his senses. But when he becomes connected to Krishna again, then he goes back to his constitutional position. The process of becoming connected to Krishna is offering his love to Krishna, because love is the force that unites. It is through love that we become united, and through hatred we become separated. Love unites us, brings us closer. Hatred separates us. So love is actually the force that is inherent with the living entity. And this love is actually meant to be offered to Krishna and thus become connected to Krishna. So when the love of the heart is offered to Krishna, that is called devotional service. Devotional service because the expression of that love gets its expression through some activity, through some action. And that action is service as an expression of love. So in this way, when a living entity offers his love to Krishna, he becomes united with Krishna again, and thus he regains his spiritual identity. He becomes situated on the spiritual platform, spiritual world, and he naturally manifest the spiritual qualities of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. The soul is eternal. It's not that we have to become eternal. We are eternal. We are full of knowledge. We are full of bliss. But somehow or other, we have lost those qualities due to our misidentification with the body, due to our identifying ourselves with matter instead of spirit. So the spirit soul, therefore, must become engaged in rendering devotional service to Krishna. In this respect, I recall when I was towards the beginning, I was with Srila Prabhupada, towards the beginning of my acquaintance with Srila Prabhupada, one day Prabhupada was telling me that for so many lifetimes you have been trying to enjoy, but you can see that you are still not satisfied. So offer this life to Krishna. just offer this life to Krishna. And he went on explaining what are the bondage, what are the cause of material bondage. And he explained that just offer this life to Krishna and see what happens. And then he said that even if it doesn't work, what's the loss? It's just one life out of so many. So just offer this life to Krishna and see what happens. So that is actually the goal of human life. Now we have the opportunity, now we have developed intelligence, now we have developed consciousness, and now let us use these faculties, use these abilities to understand Krishna, recognize our relationship with Him, and try to re-establish that relationship. And we are very fortunate that we somehow came across Srila Prabhupada and His teachings, and we understood the goal of human form of life, which has been elaborately explained by Krishna Himself in this 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Any comment?
Well, I was working on a question, and you gave a very nice answer to the question I was working on, you know, in your last section. But I still have a question.
Yeah.
I'm working on another one. But I was just thinking, we say we don't gamble. But your argument is just, we actually make a gamble. Let's risk one life condition and see what happens. So
right.
It's nice.
Actually, all these four principles that we try to follow, in the spiritual side, in the spiritual platform, they have their counterpart. Right? Say, for example, as you said, gambling. Yeah, this is the biggest gambling. That's spiritual gambling. Right? The difference is that through the material gambling, they stake something to gain something material, which ends up in a miserable condition. But this gamble is a real gambling. We are gambling with our life. Offering this life to Krishna, and in exchange, what we are getting? We're getting everything back.
The real jackpot.
The real jackpot. And
but my question was this, is that right? My question was that you say, we endeavor for happiness, but actually it just increases our misery. But, I cook. I'm hungry. I cook. I eat. I feel happy. So, I don't expect fireworks to go off, but I itch, I scratch, I get some happiness. So, how can you possibly say that? I go to school, I get a good job, I make money, I buy a big house and car. So, I'm endeavoring in getting happiness.
Yeah. So there are two considerations. One is to meet the basic needs of our body. That is one thing. And there is no harm in doing that. Like, somehow we have to maintain our body, and the body has certain needs. When those needs are fulfilled, there is a certain degree of happiness in there. But most of the people are not really satisfied with just fulfilling the need of the body. They demand more and more and more. And that is what is causing the distress. Like, people are not happy just having some nice simple food and filling their stomach. They want to have all kinds of undesirable things. People are not happy just getting a job and maintaining themselves and their family. They want to have more and more and more. People are not happy just by going to school. They don't go to school to learn. They go to school most of the time to enjoy. So, this is the problem with the thing. I mean, material, like Krishna Bara Dayamai, Koribare Jiva Jai, Shaprasad Andagilo Bhai. The basic need is there. We have to maintain our body. In order to maintain our body, we need food. Krishna has provided that food. Be happy with that. Right? So, the thing is, the problem is not just fulfilling the needs of our body. The ultimate problem, or the main problem, is that we are not satisfied with whatever we are getting. We want to have more and more. And the more we endeavor to get, the more miserable we become. It's something like, you know, Maya is alluring us. That come, come, enjoy. And because, you know, her business is to rectify our perverted consciousness. So she allures in one way, come, come, enjoy. And the moment we try to enjoy, she just gives us a smack. And the thing is, this is how she is teaching us. Don't try to enjoy in this way. Rather turn around and see where the real enjoyment is. The real enjoyment lies in being connected to Krishna. And the way to become connected to Krishna is by rendering devotional service. You do it, all the enjoyment will be there. You'll be submerged in an ocean of enjoyment. That is what Krishna consciousness is providing. Krishna consciousness is not a miserable path. It's not a miserable way of existence. Krishna consciousness is full of joy. I remember once you gave an example that there were some statistics. Someone was taking some, you know, interviewing people and finding out about their conditions. And so one such person was interviewing one of our devotees, brahmacharis. And she asked, do you have a job? He said, no. Do you have any bank account? No. Do you have a house? No. Do you have a car? No. Do you have a girlfriend? No. Are you married? No. Then finally she screamed, then why are you so happy?
It was an application for government health care.
Okay.
No, you're right.
Government health care. And that's it. Like, you know, to be only devotees know that without possessing anything, we can be happy, we can be joyful. And the condition of a devotee is like becoming the son of a king. The prince doesn't have to possess anything. Just because he's a prince, he has everything. Now, we became the children of the King of Kings, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, we have everything that we need. Therefore, we don't have to possess anything separately ourselves. Just by being the son of a king, we have achieved everything. Thank you, Vajrayana. Yes?
Maharaj, you said that we are already eternal and blissful. So,
so what's up?
So, I mean, we are already, you said, by one piece, we are eternal and blissful.
What's wrong with me?
And how can somebody, I mean, by constitution, eternal and blissful, can experience some experience which is temporary and miserable.
Experience what?
Something which is temporary and miserable.
Yeah, that is because although you are a spirit soul, and the spirit soul is actually eternal. Spirit soul is full of knowledge. Spirit soul is full of bliss. But when one identifies himself with the body, see, for example, you are a spirit soul. We all are spirit souls, but what is happening with us in most cases? We are identifying ourselves with the body. And that is the mistake. Because we are identifying with the body is temporary. Body is in ignorance. The body is miserable. Because we are identifying ourselves with the body, we have lost our spiritual identity and the spiritual qualities, and becoming endowed and forced to subject ourselves to the condition of the body. And then, you know, we are eternal, but the body is not eternal. So when the body, when I identify myself with the body, we cannot become eternal. The body comes to an end at some point. We are full of joy, but the body is miserable. Take any part of the body and see how, in how many different ways you can give pain to that part. Take your little finger and consider in how many different ways you can give pain to this body, this finger. You can take a stone and smash it. You can take some fire and burn it. You can take a knife and cut it. What will you get?
Pain.
Now you consider in how many different ways you can give pleasure to this thing. Practically none. And that principle applies to every single part of the body. So what does it finally mean? That this body is meant to receive pain. But through this body we are trying to experience pleasure. Doesn't work. There may be some temporary pleasure, but it ultimately ends into suffering. Okay, Hare Krishna. Yes. Oh, I see.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
You said that love, devotion unites, and. My question is then, what is it that causes love?
What is it that causes love? Love is there. Love is there. Just as consciousness is there with the spirit soul, love is there with the spirit soul. That's why we say, since the spirit soul is situated in the heart, we say, I love with all my heart. Right? I have a heart full of love. We never say that I love you with all my head. I love you with all. So the love is there with the spirit soul. It's an energy. And that love is, we can only offer to different objects. And in offering that, we actually desire or expect a reciprocation. And that is what causes the bond. But the actual object of love is Krishna. Because love is like something like an adhesive. Like it actually, through love, we become united. Now to whom do we actually want to be united? To whom do we want to become connected to? We want to become connected to Krishna. Isn't it? Now, when we forget Krishna, then we try to offer this love to different objects, different other persons. And by offering that, we want to have joy. But it doesn't work. Right? No matter wherever we offer this object, offer this love, ultimately, it ends in a failure. I know, either we become separated or in death we become separated. So no love in this material nature is actually fully fulfilling. But the real object of love is actually Krishna. The love that we have, a jiva has love in his heart or in him, is simply to become use it to become connected to Krishna. Therefore the goal of love is actually Krishna. And when it is offered to Krishna, then the reciprocation actually takes place. Reciprocation takes place in the sense, Krishna already loves us. It is we who do not love him. That's why that love is not complete. If one party loves, the other party doesn't, is that love complete? Both the party have to love each other. So Krishna loves us, but we do not love him. That's why this love affair is not complete. But when we respond to that love, when we offer that love to Krishna, then the love becomes complete. And then a loving relationship begins. We offer our love to Krishna and then we see how much Krishna loves us. Krishna reciprocates in such an incredible way. And then we want to offer more love to Krishna. then Krishna responds. And in this way, a loving exchange, a game begins, a competition begins. Who can love more? Krishna loves, devotee loves. Devotee loves, Krishna responds. In this way, loving competition begins. So that is the thing, like the love is meant to be offered to Krishna, and when it is offered to Krishna, then a very wonderful exchange begins. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out, that's the ultimate goal of life. Prema Pumartha Mahan. The ultimate goal of life is to develop that love for Krishna, or offer that love to Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande.
Jai
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.